for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday afternoon, November the 26th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on barriers to healing.
Well, Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you that you're the King. You're our God, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer. You're our everything. You're our all in all. Lord, your name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Lord, I pray that every person who leaves this camp will leave with a greater measure of your peace.
Yes,
God, thank you and praise you that you don't give up on us. Praise you and thank you, Lord, that you don't drive the enemy out in one day, because, Lord, we couldn't take it. We just thank you and praise you that you look at our heart, and, Lord, you fix us. And, Lord, we don't have to fix ourselves. All we have to do is yield to you. Now, Lord, we can't say the devil made us do anything. We have to take accountability for our sin, regardless of what's working in us. You have left it up to us, Lord, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. We ask you to cover this meeting with the blood of Jesus. We ask you to loose your ministering angels into this place, whatever kind of angel we need, in the name of Jesus. Are not your angels ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who receive your salvation? Lord, we thank you for your angels. We thank you for the way you watch over us and protect us. We thank you that the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by you. Lord, we bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place, over this camp, over Marilyn Barbara, over Patty Kevin, over Sandy Linda, over Rick, over Dan, over every person that is here now, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all the things that concern us. Lord, we thank you that our children will rise up and be delivered, be blessing, and be known among the nations as the children whom the Lord has blessed. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We take authority over Satan and over all his power in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we're seated in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Father, we thank you that we have authority over all of Satan's power in Jesus' name. Well, tonight I want to talk about barriers to healing and basically talk about healing. You know, if you pray for healing, the Bible says, and we're all familiar with this in Isaiah 53, that Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, that he bore our sicknesses and our sorrows, our pains at Calvary, and by his stripes we're healed. In the New Testament, Matthew 8 confirms that Old Testament verse. If people have a problem with it not being in the New Testament, because everything that's in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. All Scripture is given for reproof, correction, and training, that the man of God might be fully equipped. Somebody want to quote the rest of that Scripture? You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said in Luke 24, you foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. So the Old and New Testament is just as valid. Some of the newer translations leave out so much, and I know that even the New American Standard does. But we need to, whatever we read, we need to compare it to the King James to make sure that we've got an adequate, correct translation. God says in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The scripture says that you'll find me, God said, when you search for me with your whole heart. John 14:13-14 says, Jesus said, you can ask me anything and I'll do it. And so the scripture says, if we abide in Christ, we can ask whatever we will and he'll do it. And abiding in Christ basically means to be resting on the potter's wheel under the control of the potter And the way I get there is to continue to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow the Lord. And taking up your cross is your bills can be a cross, but your cross is every place your will crosses the will of God according to the Word of God. And so to deny ourselves, when I deny myself, then the life of Jesus is manifested in my mortal flesh. It says in Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians, it says, always caring about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in my mortal flesh. For death works in me and life in you. So make sure that when you sit under teachers, that the teacher, you're not going to find any teacher that's perfect, but make sure they're as submitted to God as they know how to be. Because if not, they're working death in you instead of life. And so we have to die in order to live. Jesus said you have to give up your life that you might find it. And so so if you come to Jesus and you ask for healing and you're not healed the first time, then you go and ask the elders to anoint you with oil. And it says the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus will raise up and heal the sick. And if you've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. And it goes on to say, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so you do all of that. And if you're not healed, then you need to examine what are the barriers to healing. What are the things that block healing? A barrier is anything that restricts or blocks a person from being healed. This also includes deliverance. If you're not delivered the first time, you need to continue to find out why you're not being healed. There's different barriers, but a barrier is something that hinders or restricts. And, of course, unbelief is also probably one of the greatest barriers to healing. I know in 2008 when I was diagnosed with the eye problems. My faith level was about 30% that God would heal me. And as He's worked things out of me, and especially after this election, after all of the negativity that went on, the Lord had told me that Donald Trump 9 months ago was going to be president of the United States. And I hear all this negativity, and I say, well, Lord, it don't sound right. And I just hear Him say, He's going to win. My hand's on Him. And so after that, that was such a strengthening of my faith, because if I could hear the Lord in the midst of all that negativity, then what I've been hearing since 2008, it made it like, hey, I believe it now. So, you know, we're all a work in progress. And as God has worked things out of me, He's built my faith, because I believe God could do anything, but He probably wouldn't, or maybe He wouldn't, especially if all my family had major eye problems when they died. And so that's encouraged me and strengthened my faith. And you might say, well, you shouldn't use a political thing. But, I mean, it was like a miracle in my life that God worked to strengthen my faith through all of that. And so you have to have a clear conscience in order to believe God. And so as God, you know, Jesus said you'll have what you say. If you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say. Well, that includes negative and positive. And so I would say, I'm healed in Jesus' name, but this little thought, this little doubt would come. And so now when I think about the situation, I start praising God that I can see far and near in dark or light. I have sharp, focused 20/20 vision. My eyes are restored. And so I don't even entertain those thoughts that I'm not going to be healed. But I'm telling you, since 2008, here it is almost 2017. And so don't give up and quit, because sometimes we lose heart, we give up, and we believe what the doctor says. You know, doctors prophesy over you. So that's one of the big barriers of healing. And so unbelief, you have to have a clear conscience, and the more you repent, the clearer your conscience you have. It's like if you can't believe God for something, you know, we can believe God for 100 other things, but there are certain areas we can't believe God in. The word salvation is a Greek word that means sozo, which means salvation, healing, deliverance, preservation, and to be made whole. It's easy for us to believe in salvation. At least that was easy for me to believe. But the other part, we just kind of discount it because of the lack of knowledge, we've been perishing. And so you have to have a clear conscience in order to have faith, because faith will come when your conscience is clear. And I've shared this many times, but a lot of you here haven't heard this. But when I was pastoring a church, I got a crick in my back, and I kept thinking, well, it's going to work out. And it didn't. And people prayed for me and anointed me with oil, and I'd hear this little voice, you're not healed. And I wasn't. But after about a week where this didn't work out, I was getting ready to preach one morning, so I pulled up all the scriptures on back and repented. I think there was like 300 of them before I preached. And when I got through repenting over all those scriptures, and there was two or three that really jumped out at me. Backsliding is one of the major things to back problems, and I can say, praise God, by His grace, I have never backslid. But there was a scripture that says, in the mouth of a fool is a rod for his back. I went, that's it. That one really jumped out. And then there's scripture that says, he who lacks understanding, it's a rod for his back. So I repented over all those scriptures, and I was dressing, and where I had heard before, you're not healed, that little voice said, you're not healed. If you hear that, you're not healed. There's still something God's trying to show you. And anyway, when I was dressing, I heard, you're healed. And I still had a crick in my back, but I heard, you're healed. And my spirit man went, yes! I didn't doubt it. And by the time I got to church, it was totally gone. And so the Lord showed me that when my conscience was clear, I received the gift of faith. So you have to have a clear conscience in order to believe God. So if you're trying to believe God for something, keep on asking God to show you what it is you need to confess so that you can have a clear conscience. Another barrier to healing is wearing the yokes of other people. There's only one yoke that's not grueling, chafing, and annoying, and that's the yoke of Jesus. If you let other people control you, they are conforming you into their image instead of the image of Christ. Only the yoke of Jesus will conform you into the image of Christ. Any other yoke will conform you into the image of whoever controls you. God doesn't want anybody to control you except Him. That's why He gave you a conscience. And He wants you to not fear man so much that you let other people control you. In Deuteronomy 28, the scripture says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And it goes on to say, because of our rebellion, I'll put an iron yoke on your neck, God says. And of course, curses are carried out by demons. If you're under a curse, a demon is behind the curse. The Bible says that sickness is a curse. And what do? When we get sick, we run to the doctor, we call the doctor. When the Bible says that a curse in Proverbs 26:2, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot light. So if I get sick, I've got to find the cause of the curse. And I might instantly get healed when I repent, or it might be something that I've been repenting since 2008 over my eyes. And the more I repent, the stronger my faith gets. And so, but God says in Deuteronomy 28, because of rebellion, I'll put an iron yoke on your neck, and you will serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness, and you'll serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness. That's what the word says in Deuteronomy 28, and I don't know exact verse because I left the last part of that off. But I think it says, with no one to save you. Well, you can't get an iron yoke off your neck. And that can be a major root to neck problems. If you let people control you, I can tell you that can be a neck problem. And guess what? The biggest yokes I've put on myself have been my own yokes. You can put your own yoke on your neck through expectations, through perfectionism. In Hosea 4, it talks about the yoke of Ephraim. Ephraim is another word for the church. It means double fruit, producing fruit for the Lord, producing fruit for the devil. And he says, I want to come upon Ephraim's neck with a fair yoke. Then he goes on to say that Judah will plow, and Judah means praise, plow up the fallow ground, and Jacob will harrow. So there's some yokes, and there's a yoke of fear in Romans 8:13. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, let's see, it says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So you're letting, the Son of God is letting
being led by the Spirit of God. It says, but you have not received again a yoke of slavery. In King James says bondage, leading to fear again. But you received a spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So you can have a yoke of fear that comes through not being led by the Holy Spirit. Your life is dominated by a spirit of fear. And as Carla said earlier, if you've got fear, you've got a demon. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is the opposite of faith. And God says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then there another barrier to healing is living a fruitless life. In John 15, it says, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Every branch in me will produce good fruit. And then it goes on to say, every branch in me that does not produce good fruit is cut off and thrown in the fire. There's people right now dying in the hospital because they were believers who never produced fruit for the Lord. And the question is, why should God heal you if he's cut you off? Why should he heal you if you're going to get out of the hospital and continue to live a fruitless life? There's got to be a change in your life or you won't be healed. And, you know, my mother in 1978 developed cancer of the ovary. And, of course, ovarian cancer has to do with bitterness towards your mother or bitterness towards your siblings. It has to do with the mother. It's a mother's issue. Same as breast cancer, the lack of being nurtured. And so my mother said, Jerry, I don't think that if I died I would go to heaven. And I led her to the Lord. And she lived from 1978 to the year 2000 and led a fruitful life. As much as she knew how to live a fruitful life. She was as obedient as she knew how to be. She got in Bible study fellowship. She began to go to church. And so there was a change in her life. I followed her around for 2 weeks and she liked to wore me out. She went through radiation therapy, only missed 2 weeks of work. My mother, if she was at your house visiting you, she'd be pulling weeds if she couldn't find something else to do. And I just would say, well, Mother, won't you just stay out and talk to me? But she did like to play cards or dominoes or something like that. Anyway, so fruitlessness is another. Jesus said in John 15, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you that you might go and bear fruit. And one place, and I don't know the scripture because I didn't have a concordance and didn't look it up. But in one place, Jesus told the Jews, he said, I'm taking salvation away from you and I'm giving it to a nation producing the fruit of it. Well, how do you abide in Christ? It says, if you abide in me, you'll produce good fruit. Well, how do you abide in Christ? You come under the control of the Holy Spirit. One way of saying it is come under God's control. You're the clay. He's the potter. You get on the potter's wheel. You don't turn the potter's wheel because that's a work of the flesh. But you get on the potter's wheel and you abide in Christ, and abiding brings rest. The word abide means to stay under God's authority. It means obey. Another way of saying it is present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Another way of saying it is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. Another way of saying it is just surrender. Give up your life, Jesus said, and then you'll find it. It says in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And I want to say this. I meant to say it before. But when it's over, I want you to be repenting over these points, the ones that you think fit you. And even if you don't think it fits you, repent because it could come. Whatever you've got could come down to the forefathers. So take accountability for it and ask God to forgive you. You can't ask God to forgive your forefathers. It's too late. They're either in heaven or hell if they're dead. And so to abide in Christ means to rest. What does the clay do on the potter's wheel? It rests. It's a picture of coming under the yoke of Jesus that's light and easy, and you find rest for your soul. And you can only do that till you come under the control of the Holy Spirit. So that's another, I didn't have this in my notes, and I can't change it on the iPad, so I had to text myself something here a while ago. I'm going to read my Bible again in Jesus' name. I've had to, in the past, this past year, or even year and a half, I've had to paste and copy it off of a Bible program and then email it to myself, and then my phone reads it to me. But I've been reading like a couple of chapters a day out of the paper Bible, and it's a struggle, but it's easier than it was. And I believe that by faith, if I keep doing that, I'll be able to read the whole thing in Jesus' name, because I believe for sure that's God's will that I read the Bible. Amen. So that is a faith. Oh, this thing wants to jump. Another barrier to healing is if you're a person that stuffs your emotions. That tells me you're a person that grew up and couldn't share your feelings. Just shut up and do it. You couldn't cry. You couldn't express yourself. You couldn't express your emotions. So you're a stuffer. So you need to forgive your parents that you were not able to speak the truth in love. Children should be able to speak and tell the truth. And they shouldn't have to stuff their emotions, because then they have a fear of speaking up. And stuffed emotions causes all kind of bowel problems, causes all kind of intestine problems. It's going to come out somewhere. If you keep stuffing it, it's going to come out in physical problems. You can't keep it hidden or keep it down. I've already said the yokes. Okay, I got that. Okay, the next barrier to healing is failure to see and repent of your sin. Lester Roloff, this great old evangelist, I don't know, that may be before your time, but he was out of Corpus Christi. He had a girl's home, and he was a singing preacher, and I'm telling you, that man could sing. Mickey said, yeah, he could. I used to love to hear him sing. But he said, behind every sin is sickness. No healing without sanctification. And on the surface, if somebody asked you if you repented, you'd probably say, yeah, I've forgiven everybody. But you know, there's things that have happened to us generationally, that we've been born with all kinds of stuff in our spiritual garden. Our heart is a spiritual garden, and we've had things planted there through the generations and through the sins that we've committed and through people hurting us and us not forgiving them. I want to say this too, if you let the sun go down on your anger without forgiving any person over your lifetime, let me tell you, the devil's got a foothold in that area. And it's going to come out your mouth and out of your thought life. And love, it'll come out through lust even, because that comes out of the heart. So on the surface, you may think you're repented of everything. I mean, I can tell you I've repented of everything I know to repent of, but there's so much down there that I haven't repented of because I haven't seen it, because God didn't show it to me all at once. You know, deliverance sometimes is instant, and that's a miracle. But sometimes in deliverance and healing is like peeling an onion. Oh, I know what I was going to say a while ago, and I forgot. After this is over, you'd be repenting, but I'm going to have the prayer team up here, and we're going to anoint anyone with oil that needs a physical healing, and believe that when we lay hands on you, you're going to be healed. In Jesus' name. Another barrier to healing is prescription drugs. You know, one only need to watch the commercials to see the side effects of these drugs. You'd have to be crazy to take that stuff, and I'm not trying to condemn you if you're taking it, but every side effect is another disease. So you can't even be healed till you cut the side effects out. Deborah will tell you that. She's a doctor, a real doctor, not a mess them up doctor. She's a real one. And we're so glad she's on the prayer team. So if you have a special thing you need, go to her when you come up. But prescription drugs, it has a side effect. You know, when I went and had cataract surgery recently, they said I had glaucoma. So they started giving these glaucoma drops. I was supposed to take 2 drops a day. Well, I've already dropped it to 1 because I'm not going to tell the doctor, but I'm going to see if the pressure, and I don't want to be stupid, but I'm going to get delivered from that, and I want you to agree with me. I was thinking of this. I said, Lord, if I was supposed to do this, bring it to my mind. She was saying earlier that glaucoma is a demon. So is macular degeneration. Now, I want you to agree that the scripture says, if any two agree upon anything as touching heaven or earth, it shall be done unto them. Is that what the word says? Okay, repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I cast the demon out of Jerry McGee of glaucoma, macular degeneration, and out of blindness, cataracts, blurred vision, Inability to focus vision. Blindness. Out of Jerry McGee and anyone else in this room that has eye problems. In the name of Jesus, we agree every demon has to come out of us in the name of Jesus, because it's a curse. It's not a blessing. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Thank you that it's done. I'm delivered. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So prescription drugs. So if I'm on prescription drugs, I have to give deliverance. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to be stupid, but to me, you're more stupid by taking this mess. And there's, I mean, you wouldn't think that glaucoma drops would cause, would have the side effects it does. It can make you tired. And, you know, my blood pressure was normal at like 130 something over 70 something. Well, when I went back, when it did the cataract surgery, because you're nervous, it was 177 over something. And so the first time it was 155 over something, but it was because you were nervous. So when I went back, I said, will you check my blood pressure? And it was 121 over 60. And I said to the doctor, I said, anything that can lower the pressure in your eyes has to lower your blood pressure. I don't want my blood pressure lowered because there's nothing wrong with it. So I'm going to be delivered in Jesus' name and taper off this stuff in Jesus' name. I hadn't taken any medication in 24 years. I didn't have a Medicare drug card. And so when they did all that, they get all these drops in your eyes, and they gave me four little bottles about that high, and it was $850 because I didn't have a Medicare drug. What a racket. Can I tell you, the drug companies are owned by the One World Order? And so, anyway, Jesus is the great physician. And the more you deliverance you get, the less you're going to need a doctor. In Jesus' name. But I'm not telling you not to go, okay? I'm not going to be that stupid. That's between you and the Lord. Anyway, prescription drugs. Every side effect is another disease. So you'll go back to the doctor. Doctor, I've got a headache. Well, they'll give you something else with side effects. Instead of removing what they gave you that gave you the headache, and they'll give you something else, they'll give you something else, and they'll give you something else. And people, there's people that take 850 pills, and that's not very many compared to what some people take. And so it's no wonder that people are sick because of all the side effects of these drugs. And just listen to these commercials of these things they're advertising. Brain tumors, blindness, oh my goodness. Lord, I ask you to give each person that's on prescription drugs wisdom and deliverance to get off in the name of Jesus. The next barrier to healing is sins of the tongue. Jesus said you have what you say, good or bad, negative or positive, if you believe it in your heart. Well, if you're speaking negative, you must believe it in your heart. We believe that more than we believe what God's Word says. And the Bible tells us we're to pull down uproot and plant. We're to pull down, uproot, pluck out, and then build, and then we're to plant and rebuild. And the way we do that is to speak the Word of God over our lives. So sins of the tongue, you have what you say. The Scripture says that he who guards his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Lord, we ask you to rearrange our negative speaking. If I'm constantly saying, I can't see, I'm blind, I'm fat, guess what? I am blind and can't see and fat because I'm saying that. Okay, and the next thing is a soul that's not prospering. It says in 3 John, Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your health and your prosperity will be in accordance to a prospering soul. And that word soul is psyche, has to do with your thought life. So as your thought life, you know, because the Bible says, as you think in your heart, so are you. Is that what the word says? So what you're thinking is what you are. So as your soul prospers and your thought life is healed, then you're going to be thinking the positive words, and you're going to be speaking positive words, and you're going to have a prospering soul. And that's a tremendous promise. Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to walk in divine health. He doesn't want you to walk in sickness. For 24 years, if I started to get something, I started repenting, and God healed me. And I was repenting over these eye thing for 9 years. I've been repenting over eye scriptures. And someone said, well, I think if you got the cataracts off, it would help. And I thought, well, maybe that's not any more than going to the dentist. but it is a lengthy process. But I've been repenting over my sin, and that's how I get healed. I mean, I can have the last time I got kind of like a cold, I just started repenting. I never called the doctor, never took an antibiotic, and was totally healed in about 3 or 4 days. And I know people that take the antibiotics, and they make you sick. And so when you deal with your sin and line your life with the Word of God, healing will come, deliverance will come. Another barrier is unconfessed sin. The scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Another barrier is covering over your sin, being a person that hides your sin. It says in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers over his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sin shall find mercy. Proverbs 32 says, David said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And it means my body became, and that word wasted away in the Hebrew means my body became old and worn out. You see, the more the sin drags you down, it makes you sick, it hinders your walk, it keeps you from standing and walking when you get to be an old person, because you see people bend over from sin. But it doesn't have to be. My cousin who moved here last November, a year ago, she was walking with a cane. She couldn't get up and down off the pot. I'd have to help her off. She walked really slow, and she's walking faster. Her knees don't hurt her now. She's lost about 40 pounds. And I said, you know, for a person that don't believe in deliverance, you're surely getting a lot of it. I prayed she wouldn't come if we couldn't help her. But just sitting under the Word of God and hearing the truth, if she don't want to hear it, God is setting her free. But it says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. I became old and worn out. The next barrier is failure to find the spiritual root to your problem. God loves to tell you. He says in... it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not. Now, if you've been like, I don't know if you've been like me, but until about a year or so ago, I'd ask the Lord, and I'd say, well, Lord, did you say it? Didn't you not? Well, Lord, didn't you say it? Well, was that you, Lord? And I was like the ship driven of the wind and tossed. And so now when I ask God, I say, Lord, I'm asking you in faith, and what I hear, I go with. And I know the devil can lie to you, but I believe that if you believe, start acting on what you think God says, even if you make a mistake, God will redirect it. Because he, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, failure to find the spiritual root to a problem. Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And, of course, we're kings and priests. And so it's the glory of kings for us to search out this matter. And don't give up. Keep on seeking God until you get an answer. Keep on seeking God for the spiritual root to your problem. Keep on repenting. And at some point, there's light up ahead. The next barrier to healing is ignorance of God's Word. Hosea 4 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge is the truth that sets me free. It says, because they rejected knowledge. How many people do you know, you try to give them the truth and they reject it? Yeah, but I don't believe that. This is what, you don't understand my situation. I've got the worst problem in the whole world. And they just totally disregard God's word. That grieves your heart, because we all know people and people that we love that won't accept the truth. They won't know the truth that sets them free. But Lord, we pray, but you know, your part and my part, it's no use is to pray for that person. Keep on praying until God breaks that thing. Isaiah 5, verse 13 says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they had no knowledge. Another barrier to healing is fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is believing what the devil told you instead of what God told you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Fear is demonic. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And fear is at the root of all autoimmune diseases. If you have an autoimmune disease, keep on working on the fear. God wants you to live free of fear. You think, well, is that possible to live free of fear? Absolutely, it's possible. God wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't possible. Another barrier to healing is having soul ties with people that are sick. My youngest son died of AIDS in 1989, and he had soul ties with probably hundreds of people that had AIDS that he never broke the soul ties with. Through a soul tie, it's like a connection in the spirit realm. You can't see it with the human eye. But through soul ties, you can have the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with, the mental problems, the emotional problems, the sickness, the addictions of whoever you have a soul tie with. A girl that I ministered to for years that came out of Satanism, she helped me on the farm. And she hadn't been on crack for 10 years. But every time someone would come through my ministry farm that had a crack addiction, she would start craving crack. And so in ministering to her, the Lord, asking the Lord for the root to this, it was because she had soul ties with every person that she had taken crack with or had given crack to or had bought crack from. She had soul ties with them. And when we broke the soul ties, she never again craved the crack. And so through soul ties, you can have the sexual perversion of whoever you have a soul tie with. If you look at pornography, you've got a soul tie. Jesus said if you just lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So you have a soul tie with whoever you look at. And images have been planted down in your spiritual garden and that keep tormenting you. And so when you have a thought like that, say, okay, Lord, where did that come from? What do I need to repent of? And then go, and according to Jeremiah 1, pull down, uproot, pluck that out, and start confessing the word of God over your life. Through soul ties, for example, say you live with an abusive mate and say they beat you and you let the sun go down in your anger, and you probably generally have forgiven that person, but in deliverance and healing, you've got to specifically forgive the person for the specific thing they did. And through a soul tie, if they say they beat you with their fist, their fist is still on you through a soul tie. Or say they sexually molest you, they're still up inside of you through molestation. Or if they slapped you in the face, their hand is still there through a soul tie. And so for a soul ties have to be broken. And so it's a connection in the spirit. A soul tie can be connected like a string, like a thread, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin. With whoever you have a soul tie with. Sexual sin always opens you up to soul ties. Plus you get the demons of lust, plus you get the demons of perversion, and everything that goes with that. Lewdness, lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness, carousing, a party spirit. You know, if you take drugs and you're under the influence of drugs, you don't even remember what you did or who you had sex with when you were under the influence of drugs. And so you have soul ties that way. Another barrier to healing is trusting in man. Jeremiah says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. If you're trusting the doctors, hey, God says you're under a curse. You know, if medical really worked, Deborah probably wouldn't be sitting here today. God's shown her a different way. If it really worked, they'd go out of business. $800 for a little bitty bottle of stuff. Probably cost them 5 cents to make. Another barrier to healing is anger and unforgiveness. Somebody hurts you and you let the sun go down on your anger. You get a foothold of the devil. And guess what? 50 years later, you're having a problem in an area and you don't know it's because of letting the sun go down on your anger. I thank God that I got saved reading the Bible. And when I read that scripture, don't let the sun go down on your anger, you give a foothold to the devil. I'm telling you, I had the fear of God from that day forward of going to bed angry that I knew about it. And I've shared this before, but my husband and I, we had a disagreement. And I wanted to go to bed. And I wanted him to apologize. And probably in 27 years, he probably apologized probably no more than 10 times in 27 years. I was saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I was the one that was always saying I was sorry. And I was upstairs and he was downstairs. And I was saying, Lord, I want to go to sleep. And this time, Lord, it's his fault. Why should I always have to be the one that apologizes? And the Lord said, yeah, this time it is his fault, but you've got a pride problem. You just need to go down and humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. So I'd go and ask for forgiveness, and he'd say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. You just do this all over again. And then I get mad all over again. You see why I'm a happy widow? No, I'm telling you, I wasn't easy to live with. I mean, I'm not blaming everything to him. Anyway. And so you let the sun go down on your anger. Guess what? You got a demon problem. You're in a spiritual prison every time you let the sun go down on your anger. You've got to say the words, I choose to forgive, whether you feel like it or not. And the next day, if you don't, the next day is unforgiveness has set in. And Matthew 18 says if you don't forgive, I don't know if Matthew 18 says this, but says it, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I don't know where that's at. Is that in Matthew? What?
Matthew 7.
In Matthew 18, Jesus said, he gives a parable of a man who had two servants, one who owed him about $10 million, and the other one owed about $18. And he gives this parable of the one who owed about $10 million, asked God to give him mercy. And he had mercy on him, but he goes outside and he finds someone else and says, hey, you owe me $18, pay it up. The man said, you know, I don't have the money, so the one who had just been forgiven for $10 million threw him in prison, choked him and threw him in prison. And the Lord's servants came and told the Lord what he had done. And he said, you wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt. You couldn't forgive that $18 debt. And he said, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors until you forgive. And so the word tormentors means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. So if you're holding unforgiveness in any area, you've got some demons. Plus you're tormented. Plus you've got a soul tie with whoever you won't forgive. Plus you'll go to hell if you don't repent. And then the next day, it's bitterness, and bitterness works like poison. It's like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. And bitterness, I believe anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness is the major root to all of our problems. We either need to forgive or we need forgiveness. Another thing is taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. How many places do you go to church and hear your pastor say you better deal with your sin? Because it goes on to say, if you don't judge your body rightly, some of you are sick, weak, and some of you have even died. So taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life will open you up to sickness and disease and death even. So it's very important to make sure your heart is right before you take the Lord's Supper. Another barrier to healing is participating in the occult, worship of false gods, making covenants with people who worship false gods. And you could occult things are astrology, it's fortune telling, it's Satan worship, witchcraft, black magic. The list goes on and on and on of occult things. New Age, lots of New Age things. You know, this thing of people taking these essential oils, that's witchcraft. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to the health food store and getting a bottle of cinnamon oil or a bottle of olive oil or cloves. But these things that are, these essential oils, these are potions that are made up by people, and it's like a witchcraft potion. And actually, it works. It might take away a small demon and put in some bigger ones. And so, Lord, we pray, as a group, we pray for everyone we know who's into the essential oils. that it will not work, that you will cause a, not calamity, but cause a divine setup to show them that this stuff is witchcraft. God, we ask for the truth that sets them free. In Jesus' name. So any occult worship, making covenants of death, blood covenants, cursing other people, even reading occult books. I know somebody that's read so much occult stuff, poltergeists, Harry Potter, watched all these occult movies, and they think there's somebody in their attic that follows them for the last 10 years, and they're demons. It's because of having occult books in their home. And so those covenants have to be broken. And we don't know what's coming down the generations. We don't know what's up there. Freemasonry. Randy talks a lot about Freemasonry and some of the occult things that people do. Lodges, sororities, fraternities, New Age thinking. These essential oils are New Age. There's so much occult stuff out there. Like Carla said, if you can't do without it, it's idolatry. Another barrier to healing is bringing a cursed thing into your house. Deuteronomy 4:16 says, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image in the likeness of an animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters below the earth. Beware that you do not lift up your eyes to the host of heaven. That could be a route to eye problems. Lord, we forgive our forefathers and forgive us for lifting up our eyes to the host of heaven. We repent. And see the sun and the moon and the stars and the host of heaven and be drawn away to worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole earth. And so, you know, some of the graven images and having your house full of whatnots are idols or dolls, idols, stuffed animals, things that are a likeness of anything. You need to get rid of those things because demons attach themselves to those things. I remember once a lady told me that her daughter had a great big white stuffed teddy bear in the corner of the room. And one night she heard her daughter talking. So she goes into her daughter's room and her daughter's saying, come here, come here. I mean, the demons in that thing, that accursed thing, she got rid of it. And so having collections of stuff, anything that's a likeness of anything, the more of that kind of stuff you have in your house, the more demonic oppression is in your home. And then it goes on to say, in Acts 19:19, it says that the early church, they took and they burned all their occult books, and it says the gospel spread. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 25, it says, the graven images of their gods you're to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. And Bill Gothard tells his story of this man that was a real prosperous businessman. I mean, his business was booming, and he went to another country and bought a bunch of Hindu things back, a bunch of relics from foreign countries, and all of a sudden he almost lost his business. His business fell off. He went to Bill Gothard's seminar and learned about what he brought into his home. When home got rid of it, his business started prospering. And so you need to clean your house. And what I do is, if when in doubt, throw it out. Or not to put anybody under the law, but just say, Lord, if I'm supposed to have this, increase my peace. If I'm not supposed to have it, then, Lord, I pray you trouble my peace. When David's daddy was in high school, he was class favorite every year for about 4 years in Burtner High School in Richardson. He had all these little icons that they gave you when you're class favorite. My husband had a wooden elephant that his mother gave him. It was a hand-carved big wooden elephant. And so they went to someplace one night, my husband and the two boys, and when they came back, all that stuff had been thrown in the barbecue pit and burned. That's my mother. My mother gave me that elephant. I said, well, it's history now. I mean, we were having enough problems in our home without without asking for it. At one point, his daddy, he listened to James Taylor. He didn't listen to anything, any rock music. But his car, the way his car, he had stuff in the trunk of his car to listen to. And so in the trunk of his car was right at the corner of our den where his trunk was. And I kept feeling like there was something in that corner. And I made him get rid of all those James Taylor stuff. Don't take chances. Don't open your kids' lives up and your life up to stuff. Don't let your kids look at the occult movies and occult cartoons are full of witchcraft. The games, these games are so demonic, kids are getting demonized by all these games they're playing. These games are very occultic. Anyway, it just goes on and on. Another is spoken curses that we speak and others speak over us. If someone says you're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, guess what? They're planting that in your spiritual garden. So those things have to be pulled up and uprooted. Generational iniquities of the forefathers. This Bible says the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. And so, you know, people don't have a hard time believing that if you go to the doctor and he takes a medical history, does anybody in your family have diabetes? Does anybody in your family have cancer? You know, people don't have a hard time believing that, you know, genes, but the Bible calls it a curse and the world calls it genes. Another barrier to healing is pride. The Bible says the humble get grace. We have to humble ourselves. And as Deborah said, we have to be honest. It takes humility to be honest and to be transparent. Pride is the very character and nature of Satan. And God's character, Jesus' character and nature, is he's humble and meek, according to Matthew 11. And so pride is like an iceberg, and you can repent of it, and some more floats up, because Jesus died to get the devil out of us. And it's a process of sanctification, getting rid of stuff, getting rid of the devil in our life, the pride. The scripture says pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And so there's another scripture that says, there's lots of scriptures on pride, but there's another scripture that says, God sees the haughty from afar. He sees the pride. And so if we don't feel close to God, it could be because we're haughty, we're prideful. Another barrier to healing is failure to be anointed with oil. God tells us in James 5, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of church and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise up and heal the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they will be forgiven. But the next part is we confess your faults to one another. So it takes humility to confess my faults to you when you pray for me. I've had my son and the elders of my church anoint me with oil, and I repented of the haughtiness and arrogance and everything else I could think of, even stuff that maybe I didn't even do. It's better to cover all your bases, right? Idolatry is another barrier to healing. Anything that you can't do without, anything you love more than Jesus is idolatry. I like to say how I can test if I have an idol. Anything that makes you angry is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. I get angry when I don't get my way, right? Or also, if there's fear there. Fear is idolatry. I know I have an idol if I fear I won't get something, or if I have it, I fear I'll lose it. Or if I get depressed when I don't get it. It's idolatry. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. Every sin is idolatry. Any sin you're holding on to is idolatry. Another barrier to healing is sitting under false teachers. Luke, I believe it's Luke 6, says, Jesus said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. He gets the image of his teacher. So make sure your pastor is someone that is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. You'll never find a perfect person because we're all a work in progress, but one that's as submitted as they know how to be. Another barrier is vexation, and vexation means grief, sadness, sorrow, provocation, and hurt, and idolatry. And vexation, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So if you're experiencing pain, it's because there's grief, sadness, sorrow, hurt, and idolatry. It just means, it doesn't mean God's mad. It means that there's some issues where you've been hurt, you've been provoked, where you turn to something else to cope rather than turning to God, which would be the idolatry part. So God says, remove vexation from your heart, and so put pain out of your body. Another barrier to healing is failure to have anyone lay hands on you. The scripture says, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Not might, they will recover. Another barrier to healing is a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality. Hot fuse. Barely say something to them, and they're like a spitfire. Or as Jerry Henley says, a hissy fit. Sometimes get Jerry to tell you what a hissy fit is. It's very not now, Jerry. There's a, he would tell you the difference between a hissy fit and a conniption fit. Get him to tell you. So having an angry, agitated, always agitated, always negative, always speaking rash words like a thrust of a sword, just contentious and venomous in Jesus' name. So you've got to, in fact, if you practice anger, God says you'll not even enter the kingdom of heaven according to Galatians 5:19. Another barrier to healing is lack of persevering. We give up. The scripture says, don't lose heart for after, let's see, what does it say? Anyway, don't give up because in due time you'll reap if you do not grow weary and faint. What does it say, Carla? Hebrews. There's another scripture that says, you have need of endurance. After you've done the will of God, you'll receive what's been promised. So sometimes when deliverance and healing takes a long time, God tells us don't throw away our faith. We have need of endurance because after we've done the will of God, we'll receive what's promised. Do you see it? It's in Galatians. Yeah, it's in Galatians. It says if you...
do not be weary in well-doing.
That's it. Say that again. Don't be weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
Yes. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. And what happens is we go for deliverance, for example, and we get a little relief maybe for an hour or we don't get it. And we think, well, this don't work, so we don't keep peeling the onion. You have to keep peeling the onion layer by layer till it's totally, till you're totally healed. And so I'm peeling the onion in my life. And that's what you need to do to get healed. And I have need of endurance, is what the Word says. After I've done the will of God and He teaches me everything that I need to know, I'll receive what's promised. I mean, I've already have it, but I'll see the manifestation of it in Jesus' name. So I give up too quick. Living a lifestyle of unrest. Unrest is a curse, according to Deuteronomy 28. It says, there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, another root of eye problems, and despair of soul. And so unrest is a curse because the only place you rest is on the potter's wheel. The only place you rest is under the yoke of Jesus. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you labor or heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. And that's a picture of abiding in Christ. I mentioned to someone once that they weren't resting, and they said, I said, you know, it's a curse if you live under unrest. And their comment was, they said to me, I'm cursed because I have to work. I'm cursed because I'm married. I'm cursed because of da-da-da. And I said, God have mercy. God have mercy. So God wants you to enter his rest. Hebrews says, see to it that you enter my rest. See to it. We're to strive according to his mighty power, not according to our mighty power. Hardness of heart. It says in Hebrews, today when you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Listen. Take heed. Repent. Another barrier to healing is ingratitude. God inhabits your praises. And guess who inhabits your moans and your groans? Right? Psalms 50 verse 23 says, whoso offers praise glorifies me, and him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Another one is attention getting. There's people that don't want to get well because then they wouldn't get attention. That's their way to get attention. There's people that are so lonely and nobody cares about them that they stay in the doctor's office because the doctor shows them some attention. It's the same in deliverance. When I used to pastor the church, I mean, I'd have attention getters come through there. And I mean, you think you've seen attention getters. I'm telling you. Totally fake you out. I took a girl in that told me she was ritual abused by a local sheriff in a nearby town. And I bit that hook, line, and sinker. She stayed in my house. I let her sleep in my bed to protect her. Come to find out, and she would pretend that she couldn't talk. She'd go, da, 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 sit down on the floor when I was praying, having my prayer time. Totally faked me out. We were trying to protect her. Our church was trying to protect her. Come to find out, she was lying about the whole thing. So I know about attention getters. And I have no patience with them, honestly. So if you're an attention getter, you're not getting my attention. You've got God's attention, and that's all you need. And then another one, you don't like to hear this, the effects of caffeine and its effects on your adrenal glands. It can cause adrenal failure. It pumps you up, drops you, and you're more tired than you were before. And people that are addicted to caffeine will tell you all the time, I'm just wore out. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Since God, and it causes high blood pressure. It causes less muscle mass, more fat. It produces excess. It causes your adrenal gland produces cortisol, and cortisol will destroy your immune system. It's good in a stressful situation, but when you drink caffeine constantly, you keep yourself in a state of distress. It causes your blood pressure to be high, gives you a boost of energy, then drops you, causes fatigue and insomnia, causes you not to experience the stage 4 sleep, which is supposed to be the healthiest state of sleep, burn fewer calories. The cortisol makes you want to overeat. Causes your skin to be dehydrated, skin aging, decrease in collagen, slows down your digestive system, causes acid reflux, stomach ulcers, diarrhea, anxiety, fruitlessness. And so the fruitlessness was another point that was up the front, so just ignore that. And so having said all that, I want to have you stand up and repent. I hope you've been repenting as we go along. And then have the prayer team come up here and anoint you with oil. But before we do that, let's stand up and ask the Lord to show you, is there anything else you need to repent of? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, show me what I need to repent of. In Jesus' name. And then sit down when you're through repenting. And then come forward, those of you with a physical problem, come forward and we'll have the prayer team anoint you with oil. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just repent of everything you've shown me. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for anxiety. Forgive me for being fruitless. Forgive me for letting people control me. Father, forgive me for being addicted to anything. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you, forgive me for not being a praiser. Forgive me for attention getting. Forgive me for hardness of heart, living a lifestyle of unrest, disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for giving up too quick. God, forgive me for living a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality. Forgive me for vexation of heart, grief, sadness, sorrow, hurt, provocation, idolatry. God, forgive me for sitting under false teachers. Forgive me for idolatry. God, forgive me for pride. I humble myself. I forgive my forefathers for the sin that they committed that would bring physical problems on me, the physical problems that I have, in the name of Jesus. All the way back to Adam and Eve, Lord, I ask you to let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I forgive everyone who's spoken evil over me, who spoke a curse over me. I break the prophecies that doctors have spoken over me. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of every word of death, every word of iniquity. Be praying. Every curse assignment that's been spoken against me, I break in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for speaking negative words over myself. Lord, forgive me for bringing abominable things into my house. God, forgive me for not burning the graven images of other people's gods. Forgive me for bringing oppression to my home because of the stuff I have in my house. God, in the name of Jesus, I just forgive me for participating in the cult worship. I break every covenant, satanic covenant, oath, vow that my forefathers made, giving me to any to the devil or to any false god. I nullify, make void, and cancel all blood covenants, all covenants of death, all the way back to Adam and Eve. In the name of Jesus, I cancel every word that's been spoken by my forefathers to the devil or to any demon power or to worship any false god. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for all the occult things I've been involved in. Forgive me for taking the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness and being bitter toward people. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for trusting in man and making flesh my arm. I ask you, I break that curse of trusting in man. Lord, I break soul ties with every person I've sinned with or sinned against or who sinned against me. Forgive me for everything I've done with other people that would bind me to a demonic soul tie. I call back, pray with me, I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. All demons that came in through demonic soul ties, through sins I've committed, have to leave me now in Jesus' name. All spirits of addictions, all spirits of bitterness, resentment, and anger has to go now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear, I break your power. Lord, forgive me for fearing man. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being ignorant of your word. Give me a hunger for your word. Forgive me for covering over my sin, Lord. Forgive me in the name of Jesus for not searching a matter out. Forgive me for covering over sin, unconfessed sin. God, forgive me for not having a prospering soul. Forgive me for not reading your word. Forgive me for sins of my tongue, and I forgive everyone that's spoken evil against me. God, forgive me for taking drugs that have caused side effects that have made me sick. God, forgive me for not having a repentant heart. Forgive me for thinking I have a problem that you don't know about. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. God, forgive me for being fruitless in Jesus' name. Lord, I take accountability for everything I've confessed. I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the things I've confessed. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I like what Carla said, I give leave to every familiar spirit in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of sickness, distress, disease, leave now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of infirmity, deafness, dumbness, cancer, go. Blindness, cataracts, glaucoma, leave now. In Jesus' name. Macular degeneration of the eyes, leave now. In Jesus' name. Blindness, you have to go. Bowel problems, you have to leave in the name of Jesus. Stuffed emotions, in Jesus' name, Lord, we unlock their emotions in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness, come out. Torture, torment. The tormentors, come out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I take them out of the spiritual prisons they're in. In Jesus' name, go, move, move. Blow out in Jesus' name. Come out now. Headache. In Jesus' name, I break your power. In Jesus' name, I command migraine headaches out. Stubborn, stiff neck, come out in the name of Jesus. I break every yoke off of every person's neck. Perfectionism, come out. Fear of failure, fear of not being perfect. Anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, come out. Come out now in Jesus' name. Knuckle cracking, come out in the name of Jesus. Nervous twitches, come out in the name of Jesus. Grinding of the teeth, come out. Gnashing of the teeth, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Ear problems, deafness, dumbness, blindness, come out of us in the name of Jesus. Liver problems, heart problems, lung problems, come out now in the name of Jesus. Hypoglycemia, hyperglycemia, diabetes, come out. Double-mindedness, compromise. All the demons of pornography, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of masturbation, perversion, adultery, fornication, come out now. Orgies, lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness, a carousing, a party spirit, idolatry, lies, lying, unbelief, doubt, rebellion, antichrist, come out. Mind control, we break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every lying spirit has to come out now. In the name of Jesus, start naming the particular physical problem you have out loud and let's come against it. Louder. What'd you say? Arthritis and pain. That's bitterness. All bitterness toward others. Arthritis, pain, come out now. Rheumatism, rheumatoid arthritis, come out now in Jesus' name. Something else. Neuropathy, in the name of Jesus, numbness of feet, poor circulation, come out in Jesus' name. Back problems, leg problems, knee problems, come out in the name of Jesus. Pain in the knees, pride, I break the power of pride, haughtiness, in Jesus' name, come out, name something else.
Ringing in the ears,
come out in the name of Jesus. Anybody slapped you in the ears, forgive them if they did. In Jesus' name, blood pressure, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, come out now in Jesus' name. Anxiety and stress, anger, rage, come out now in Jesus' name. Heart attacks, heart failure, aneurysms, come out now in Jesus' name. Congestive heart failure, come out in the name of Jesus. All autoimmune diseases, come out now in the name of Jesus. Name something else. Kidney problems, diabetes, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, what else?
Bone alignment's out of whack.
Lord, in Jesus' name, the spirits that have vexed our bones, dismayed our bones, decayed our bones, and disfired our bones, and put our bones out of joint, go now in Jesus' name. What else did it?
Vitreous, your eyeball
strings
when you get old, that's what causes
detached
retina, and that's what makes floaters.
What did you say, vitreous?
Yeah, your eyeball,
that's right.
Gel in your eyeball.
Vitreous. Aqueous vitreous?
Yeah,
floaters, come out. Floaters is from judging people. Come out in the name of Jesus. We break your power. What else?
Flat feet,
come out. Corns, bunions, come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, leg problems, knee problems, elbow problems, shoulder problems, come out in the name of Jesus. Neck problems, back problems, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Heart attack,
heart failure, stroke, come out in the name of Jesus. What else?
Insanity,
mental illness, come out. Confusion, confounding, come out in the name of Jesus. Out.
Fear of heart attack.
Fear of death. Spirits of death. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Ulcers. Colitis. Come out. In Jesus' name. Diarrhea. Come out in the name of Jesus. spastic colon, colitis, come out in Jesus' name. Digesting problems, bitterness, resentment, come out now. Irritable bowel syndrome, come out in the name of Jesus.
Crohn's disease,
Crohn's disease. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Diverticulitis,
come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, shut up and come out in the name of Jesus. Shut up and come out in the name of Jesus. If you're a demon, you have to shut up. Come out in Jesus' name. Okay, what else?
Lots of hair.
What? Lots of hair. Hair loss, baldness, come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, pride that caused our scalps to be plucked out. We break the power of pride. Break the power of baldness in the name of Jesus. What else? Spirits of lameness, crippled spirits, spirits that cripple us, come out now in Jesus' name. What else? What?
Crooked
teeth, come out, be straight in Jesus' name.
Cancer,
come out in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We command gum disease out, teeth problems out in Jesus' name. Leave now in the name of Jesus. Skin cancer, come out. Cancer of the bowels, cancer of the colon, cancer of the brain, or cancer of the head, come out. All tumors, growth, cancer, malignancy, come out of our bodies in the name of Jesus.
Leukemia.
Yes, leukemia, blood disease.
Come on out.
Hodgkin's disease, come out. Parkinson's disease, come out. In the name of Jesus, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Is there anything that we didn't name? Carpal tunnel, come out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. You have to leave. Excessive itching, we break that curse of itch in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What else?
Allergies.
Go in Jesus' name. Allergies. What do you have, brother?
God for carpal tunnel going.
Yes, it's going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. What else? What? Performance. You demons that tell them they have to perform. Fear of not performing. In Jesus' name, Lord, we let go of performance. We thank you, Lord, that we are from this day forward going to live for your glory and not live someone else's life through us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All yokes are broken. We break off the yoke of iron. We break off the yoke of fear. We break the power of fear. We break the power of the yoke of Ephraim. We break it in Jesus' name. What else? Anything we haven't named? What?
Foot fungus.
Foot fungus. Athlete's foot. Foot fungus. Toe fungus. Toenail fungus. Come out in the name of Jesus. What else in Jesus' name? What? Leg cramps. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out all cramping of the body. Poor circulation. You come out now in Jesus' name.
Restless legs.
Restless leg syndrome. In the name of Jesus.
Peeping and muttering spirit.
Peeping and muttering spirit. Witchcraft. Come out. Sorcery. Come out in the name of Jesus. What? Varicose veins. Come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we break your power. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Anything else?
Hardening of the arteries.
Hardening of the arteries. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Praise you, Lord. Okay, all we're going to do is anoint you with oil when you come up. So those that have physical problems, have the prayer team come here and we'll anoint people with oil and we'll be through. Hallelujah. We'll lay hands on you because the Bible says we lay hands on you. And you're healed in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Paul.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.